God's will and your life. I recently attended a fundraising event at someone's home. It was a lovely house, had a vegetable garden, chickens, a small pond, and an orchard, and there was plenty of room to run about before coming to the summer house at the far end of the garden. And as I sat preparing for today's service and reading those verses from Genesis 12, verses 1 to 9, about God's call to Abraham, I wondered, you know, if I owned such a place, such a nice house, and an angel appeared and told me to pick up a few things for a journey and never to return, to leave for an unknown destination. If I was retired, feet up, enjoying life, I wonder, would I go or would I protest? Well, Abraham lived about 2000 BC, and he was age 75 when God called him to leave home. And God said to Abraham, said, leave it all. Of course, the people of Abram's time were nomadic, and his life would not have been easy. There would be no comforts, of course, such as refrigerators and cars and televisions, no doctors, no chemists, no insurance policies against critical illness. And Moses and his people were hardened, and they were much tougher than we are, and they were used to being moved on. So in one sense, Abram was used to moving. But I imagine it would still have been a wrench for him to have leave behind much of what he loved and was familiar with. But being a man of faith, he was ready, even at the age of 75, for an adventure. And he was able to trust God with his family and his future. And so he was willing to do God's will, to follow God one step at a time and one day at a time. I expect we have all been or are or will be frustrated as we journey the Christian life, perhaps because we are looking for God's direction and wondering where he is leading us, or because we've experienced tragedy or feel our life is broken and we don't know which way to turn. Now, at such times, indeed at all times, it's important to interact with God, because it is God who can radically change your life, my life. And when you think about it, you know, without a relationship with God, how can we know his will? If we don't maintain the relationship with him, we are sure, aren't we, to miss what he wants to do through us. So as we see that when God called Abram to follow, God simply said, leave and go to a land that I will show you. As we note, Abram wasn't given much information, but because he trusted God, he was able to set out free from worry. And there are many times, as with Abram, when God calls people just to follow him. Sometimes, as in the case of Moses, there might be a bigger picture of the assignment given. But you know, whether there was little detail or much detail, each individual had to keep close to God for daily guidance. And then when Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James and John, there was very little detail about the task ahead. He basically said to them, just follow me and I will show you the way. And God says to you and to me, all you need to do is to follow me one day at a time. Abraham did just that. The disciples did just that. In effect, they, like Jesus, said to God, "Lord, just tell me what to do one step at a time, and I will do it." And we too need to come to the place where that is our response as well. Recall the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 6. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and don't worry about tomorrow." Now, Jesus seems to be saying here, doesn't he, that God is trustworthy. Follow him one day at a time. And the people can choose what to set their hearts on, of course. On money, material things, promotion at work. Or we can set our hearts on God and spiritual things. We can choose the ways of the world or God's will. And everyone must decide for themselves what their own priorities are. But those who put God first can rest assured that he knows their needs and that he will not fail to supply them. They can be free from worry. Remember, Jesus also said, "I am the way." And it is Jesus who knows the way that we need to go in order that God's purposes will be accomplished in and through us. And if we follow Jesus, trust him to guide us day by day, then he will ensure that we will be in the centre of God's will. That we will be there when God wants us to be used for his purposes. Well, Abraham, Jesus, and the disciples all adjusted their lives in order to do God's will. Remember, again, Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven to do not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me." And again, Jesus told God that he wanted to do his will. Remember his words as he faced the cross, "Father, if you will, take this cup of suffering away from me, but not my will, however, but your will be done." And we also need to seek God's will, to make it a top priority. Because once we know his will, we can adjust our life to him. See, our focus needs not to be on our own life, but on God. And like Jesus, we should pray about our needs and include, as Jesus did, the words, "May your will be done." Now, when we want to learn and to know and do the will of God, we can find no better example, no better model than Jesus. For 33 years, Jesus lived on earth, and during that time, he perfectly completed every task God gave him to do. He never failed to do the will of God. He never sinned. But how did Jesus come to know the will of God? And why was he able to carry out the will of God? We turn to John chapter 5. Verses 17, 19 and 20 supply the answers. Verse 17, Jesus says, "My Father is always working, and I too must work." And in verse 19, "I am telling you the truth. The Son can do nothing on his own. He does only what he sees his Father doing. What the Father does, the Son also does. And verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. So we see here from these readings that first of all, it is God the Father who is always at work. And then he had Jesus working. And we're also told that Jesus the Son can do nothing on his own initiative. Then we're told that Jesus watches to see what the Father is doing and does what the Father is already doing. And we're told that the Father shows his Son, Jesus, what he is doing because he loves his Son. And I think these few verses describe a love relationship through which God accomplishes his purposes. And if we as individuals and as a church want to seek and do the will of God, then we must ensure that our relationship with God is a loving one. And like Jesus, we must watch to see where God is working and join him. Now, we live in a busy world, don't we? We're busy people. And we're not very good at settling in God's presence or listening to God or resting in God. I don't know what it's been said to you, but it's said to me, not very often, I must admit, don't just stand there, do something. Yes, it would be my wife who would say that. We're a busy people, always needing to do something. But you know, I think quite often God shouts out to us, slow down, slow down. Just stand there and enter into a love relationship with me. Get to know me. Adjust your life to me. Let me love you. And let me reveal myself and my ways to you as I work through you. And maybe God is saying that to you as an individual, or perhaps to you as a church this morning. Slow down. Listen to me. But of course, the time will come when action will be called for. But it's important to know that we can't skip the relationship. And it's no good talking about a relationship, having faith in God, if we're not prepared to translate that into loving action and obedience to his will. And so we need to stop doing things all the time so that we can create a space in our lives to be with God. See, God loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us, to have a relationship with him. And because he loves us, he wants us to be involved with him in making his will come to fruition. And we show our love for him when we say those words in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But of course, working and praying the kingdom in won't be easy, and it won't be comfortable or trouble-free. Abraham, the disciples, and Jesus will tell you that. But our God is a big God, a great big God. It's all-powerful, all-knowing. He's present in all places at all times. But having said that, he doesn't impose his will on us just because he is bigger than us. He doesn't push us around or bully us. He loves us and he wants us to live life to the full with him. Life with a capital L. But he leaves the choice to us. We are free to say no. Free to follow his will or not. We are free to set out like the elderly Abraham, like the young disciples and like Jesus, seeking to do the will of God, following him one step at a time, one day at a time, and trusting him absolutely. Now, Jesus, as we've seen, enjoyed a loving relationship with his Father. He had complete confidence in him, and so he was able to say to his Father, "Your will, not mine, be done." It's not surprising then that if we follow Jesus one day at a time, we'll be kept right in the centre of God's will. Now, how often do we make our plans and then ask God to join us? Now, what we need to know as individuals, as community, as a church, is what has God got on his agenda for us? And when we know that, we can start individually, as a community, as a church, to adjust our lives to God, and then one step at a time respond to what he's doing. So as we seek to do God's will, even though the detail may be sparse, let our prayer be, "Lord, just tell me what to do, one day at a time, and I will do it." Amen.